Now, as the economy slowly gets back to its feet, the aftermath of the downturn has been felt no harder than in rural areas. Between 2006 and 2011, there was a 192% increase in the number of rural unemployed people compared with a 144% increase in urban areas. Yesterday, the Taoiseach launched a report making a series of recommendations to revive rural areas. The chairman of the Commission for the Economic Development of Rural Areas, Pat Spillane, is with me in studio. Yes, the same Pat of football fame. Thanks indeed for coming in. Pat, what have you been able to establish about the life that people have had to endure, I suppose you could say, as opposed to enjoy as much as that, in rural life as a result of the downturn?
Well, actually, just to correct you on those statistics, the rate of unemployment rose 192% in rural areas. It rose 114% in urban areas.
But there's sorry, no doubt a misprint about, there. Go
yeah,
on,
I mean, there's no doubt about it. There is a danger that Ireland is becoming a two-tier society, and there's a danger that rural Ireland is falling behind it. And the statistics bear up on that. I mean, Social Justice Ireland will say that the disposable income of people in rural areas is 25% less than urban areas. The poverty rate is 4.6% higher. 27% of households since 2006 have suffered direct immigration of one person.
And you tend to really notice emigration in rural areas more so than maybe in the cities.
Of course
towns.
You do. I'll give you just as an example, say Kerry, and take my sport, football. There's 64 football clubs in Kerry. Now down at the lower divisions, Division 5, it's 13 a side because they can't find 15 players. But out of the 64 clubs, in the minor level, under 18, only 15 clubs at minor level can now field 15 a side. And every club is suffering. And you can see the effects. I drove yesterday from Castlebar to Dublin. And you know when you drive through villages and towns and they're deserted villages. And there's a danger that the famine village of the past is going to be re-emerging as another version in the 21st century.
And people have talked about the loss of post offices, the threat to others, also how the pub has been affected by all sorts of things, not just the recession, but the crackdown on drink driving and so forth. So has your group come up with specific proposals then?
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, I went to loads of meetings listening to people talking about the problems of rural Ireland. And there's no doubt about it, as you just aired there. There are a lot of problems. But out of all the meetings I went to, the one thing that I'd wake up the following morning and no one ever had a plan or a vision. And this is what CEDRA report's about. It's about a plan. It's about energising Ireland's rural economy. And it's very specific. It's to come up with a job strategy for rural Ireland for the next, from 2014 to 2025. Now, it has nothing to do with Pat Spillane. It's not a Pat Spillane report. It's nothing to do with the Commission's report. It's not another cut and paste job from an expensive consultant's report. This is a report from the people of Ireland. This is why CEDRA is different. Because in this country, or in most countries, too much policy is dictated from central level, where it's the people on the ground that actually have the answers to the challenges. And that is true of rural Ireland, because the concerns of rural Ireland and the issues are unique to rural Ireland. So this was a listening exercise. This was a consultation exercise. We had public meetings, stakeholder meetings to get more information. We had 50 expert focus group meetings. We met the key entrepreneurs in rural Ireland. Brilliant people picking their brains. Pat McDonough, Supermax, Brian McCarthy, Fexco, Dennis Brosnan, founder of Kerry Group. And the idea is that we consulted, we gathered, we listened, and their ideas fed in to the report. So the CEDRA report is a people's report. It's a report from the people of rural Ireland.
Right, but what impressed you by way of good ideas? Because, you know, you're somebody who can tend to hone in on the essence of matters, whether it's on the football field or wherever. So what have you brought back by way of solid, concrete suggestions?
Well, I'll tell you this. The two key problems we saw with rural Ireland, A, is rural. No one has responsibility for rural Ireland, because rural Ireland, there's a part of rural Ireland in every government department, with probably the exception of the Department of Foreign Affairs. So no one government department has ownership and responsibility. So that is one vital thing. What we recommend is that the Department of the Environment, the Minister for the Environment, be given responsibility for rural Ireland, and that be put on a statutory footing. The second problem we discovered at a very early stage in rural Ireland, there's a lot of bodies, there's a lot of agencies working in rural Ireland, working for rural Ireland. There's an awful lot of duplication. There's an awful lot of those bodies working in parallel to one another. There's little integration. There's little coordination. And when it comes to some of the national bodies, there isn't a rural focus at these bodies. So we went around the country. We asked three questions, Sean. We asked the people, what are the opportunities for jobs in rural Ireland? How best can these job opportunities be realised, and what are the challenges? And can I just say one thing? The positivity at every meeting was amazing. We don't have a silver bullet. It's going to be a series of small steps. But one thing about it is that in rural Ireland, there's resilient people, there's innovative people, there's people with great ideas, there's a people with great get-up-and-go attitude, and this is about supporting them and encouraging them and helping them. And by the way, this report cost the government nothing. No one got paid for it.
No big fees, nothing like that.
Nothing at all, absolutely nothing. It was done...
Or even small fees,
no. So they got it on the cheap.
Right, but just to come back to one of the questions you asked, was the first one you identified. What are the opportunities that are there?
There's wonderful opportunities. Opportunities that millions of, whether it is opportunities in tourism, whether it is opportunities in the agri-food industry, whether it is opportunities with the artisan food, whether it's the creative crafts, the renewables, marine. There's opportunities everywhere. And it's about maximising those opportunities.
And presumably people being self-starters themselves and just making the most about what they have to work with, despite the limitations that may be there, whether it is distance from Dublin or other big centres of population. So are there a few things that are going to change as a result of this?
I think there are. And the Taoiseach launched it yesterday and he was very, very supportive of it. But we're looking at the challenges and we're looking at ways of overcoming those challenges. And one of the big problems we have in challenges in rural land is, for example, broadband. Rural electrification scheme of the 50s transformed rural Ireland, and we believe that a proper broadband system into rural areas can be the 21st century transformation, and that means that people can do business internationally from Aran Islands, from Tory, from West Kerry. And we're recommending that, I mean, broadband coverage in the country in rural areas is very, very poor. We're recommending a minimum 30 megabits to every household in this country. It's supposed to come in for 2016. We say, why not bring it in for 2015? Fibre network has to be rolled out. Now, it's not going to be rolled out to every individual household in rural Ireland, but we're recommending that for towns of 1,500 plus population, that a fibre network minimum of 100 megabytes be installed. And that's a start.
That's one very practical proposal. Any others?
Certainly, I mean, finance is a major problem. 20% of people surveyed said lack of finance was a problem. They need credit for working capital. We need to access money. We need to look at non-banking sources for finance. And by the way, this report is not looking. We believe that it can be financed and resort recommendation can be financed from existing resources, whether it is from the Rural Development Programme, whether it is from government or EU funding in relation to Rural Development Programme, or whether it is we're recommending also that the government set up an Innovation and Development Fund. But it can all be done from existing resources. But I think the key in all of this, I mean, people say, what's different about this report? The government there was a white paper produced in rural land in 1999. And if you read it today, you'd say, this was written yesterday. It's the same problems, the same everything. So why are our solutions different? What's different from our report? Two things. We're giving responsibility now to somebody to take charge, a minister. And secondly, the key to economic development, Sean, must come from the rural communities itself. It must come from bottom-up development.
If I remember correctly, back in those days, there was it the Department of Agriculture and Rural Affairs? There was that kind of an umbrella thing. And I remember a man who died fairly recently, Noel Davern, was minister, and he talked about the need to rural-proof various initiatives. Now, as you say, that could have been said yesterday as relevantly as was said in the end of the 90s. So what is there any reason to believe that anything's going to change? They had those things 15 years ago, those ideas. Will they be implemented now?
But the problem was that there was no... The unfortunate part about rural Ireland is rural Ireland has been off the political agenda for years. And, you know, maybe certainly politicians are to blame. Probably the media are to blame. I looked at the TV news channels yesterday. There was no mention of the launch of SEDRA report. I looked at some of the main newspapers today in this country. There was no mention of the SEDRA report. And this SEDRA report is a report that can impact positively on the lives of 2.1...
That's SEDRA being Commission for the Economic Development
and
of
this
Rural Areas.
Correct.
Yes.
And this SEDRA report will impact positively on 2.1 million people in this country. If that's not a good news story and a positive news story, then I don't know what
is. Yeah, but in the meantime, you see, you have people. You talk about different responsibilities in different departments. You take something like the Department of Education. They're going to be far more won't teach our schools come next September as a result of cutbacks in the pupil-teacher ratio or increase in the pupil-teacher ratio than was previously the case. Now, you might be talking about, in absolute terms, not a huge number, but nonetheless, that's the kind of thing that's going on and that people are concerned about.
Well, sadly, you see, too many decisions relating to rural Ireland are made by bureaucrats, perhaps in Dublin, but more especially in Brussels or whatever like that, and they're made on the basis of financial or administration costs. I mean, you look, the cover of Cedra was designed by a student in Colaston Navan on Inish Man. Colaston Navan is a post-primary school with 23 pupils. Now, if the bureaucrats in Brussels or elsewhere had their way, that would be off the face of the earth because it wouldn't be economically viable. Yet Colaston Navan post-primary school in Inish Man is the heartbeat of Inish Man. And unfortunately, like I said, the decisions are made. Rural Ireland has been off the political agenda. There's been no one fighting our cause for years.
Do you discern a commitment on the part of the Taoiseach to take these recommendations and implement them? I mean, in other words, to give that statutory responsibility to a particular government department, the Department of the Environment.
Yesterday, the Taoiseach publicly gave commitments to supporting the redevelopment of rural Ireland. And it's not the redevelopment of rural Ireland, because our vision is of a rural Ireland which is dynamic, which is vibrant, which is multi-sectoral, but it also must be a vision.
Yeah, but this is a government that has closed 100 Garda stations in rural Ireland.
And there's 200 banks and 1,300 pubs, yes. But what we could go on the negative and be on the defensive. And I said yesterday that the Cedra report is drawing a line in the sand and it's coming up with a vision and a plan for rural Ireland. And it's the first ever time, as far as I know, since the history of the state, that the government produced a job strategy for rural Ireland. Now that's a first and that's a great starting point, and let's be positive.
Okay, I can't let you go without asking two other questions because one person wants to know, is Pat Spillan going to enter politics?
No.
His voice suggests that it sounds like you are.
No. That's full stop. Absolutely okay. Have no interest in politics. John, bottom line, I did this because I wanted to do it, not for any ulterior. I wanted to put something back to the country
Martin
that's been good to me.
Is saying we need a rural Ireland party that might make them sit up.
I think Clonagh Talloon was there in the past.
Yes, and there was Clonagh Public there, yes.
Clonagh Public, no.
Did you look at the benefits of living in rural Ireland as opposed to non-rural Ireland? That's another question.
I think the benefits of living in rural Ireland are self-evident. I see it every morning when I look out the window and look over the Cahill Mountains and Kinmare Bay and listen to the birds and the bees and the quietness and the peacefulness. That's the beauty of rural Ireland.
And it
deserves to be saved.
And one other question. Can the Dubs be stopped?
If they produce a performance over 70 minutes like they did in the second half last Sunday, the answer is no. No, they looked very impressive.
And what about Kerry without the gooch? You'd never admit that it was a lost cause, but it's a big challenge for them this year.
It's a massive challenge. You're losing the greatest Gaelic football forward of all time. It's a massive challenge. The other lads have must take huge.
That's some expression of humility on your part with all the medals you have.
He is the greatest forward I've ever seen playing. I think he's just a genius, a magician, lovely guy. And it'll be a big struggle for Kerry, but look, we're never without hope.
Okay, well look, that's just a flavour of perhaps some of the great conversations to come. Pat Spillane, thank you very much indeed for
pleasure,
coming
to the studio. Pleasure, Sean. Thank you very much.